ADP uses data-driven insights to design HR solutions to help businesses of all sizes think beyond today so they can find more success tomorrow. ADP, always designing for HR, talent, time, payroll, people.
This is your tech news briefing for Tuesday, December 6th. I'm Zoe Thomas for the Wall Street Journal. A lot of us worry about how much tech companies really know about us. But at the end of each year, the streaming service Spotify makes many of us question whether that data exchange is such a bad thing. Its annual report on users' listening habits, Spotify Wrapped, lights up social media as people share what the service knows about them. On today's show, our personal tech columnist Nicole Nguyen joins us to discuss the detailed personal insights that Spotify shares about its users, and whether more companies should do the same. That's after these headlines. We've got more exclusive news on FTX. When the crypto exchange was struggling to raise cash early last month, it seized billions of dollars worth of collateral from its trading arm Alameda Research, mostly in the form of four crypto tokens. And CEO Sam Bankman-Fried said FTX used the collateral to try and convince investors of the company's financial health. But according to documents viewed by the Wall Street Journal, the tokens were likely worth far less than Bankman-Fried claimed. Our reporter Shane Shiflett has more.
Mr. Bankman-Fried promoted these cryptocurrencies publicly. They had astronomical valuations. At one point, one token was worth as much as $127 billion, but there was hardly any trading activity of users trading with these tokens. So what that means is that if you were a creditor, or maybe you wanted to bail out FTX because FTX was going around asking for funds to help keep it operational, and you took a look at some of these assets on the balance sheet, you would quickly realize that you couldn't easily sell these tokens for as much as they were valued for. They were basically overvalued coins that Sam Bankman-Fried and his associates created.
Yesterday, we told you about Canada's efforts to force social media companies to pay domestic news publishers for content. Now, New Zealand says it wants to do the same. A proposed law there is aimed at encouraging platforms to reach deals with local news outlets. The law would allow Google and Facebook to negotiate with publishers without government intervention. But if the sides can't reach a deal, the law would have a mandatory negotiating process. That's similar to the proposal in Canada, and a law in Australia. The New Zealand proposal is likely to set up a fight between the country's parliament and big tech firms. On Monday, Meta's regional policy director said the proposal misunderstands the relationship between Facebook and news outlets. Facebook at one point blocked news on its platform in Australia while legislation there was being debated, and it's threatened to do the same thing in Canada. Google didn't respond to a request for comment. The CEO and co-founder of Slack is leaving the company. Salesforce, which bought Slack last year, said Stuart Butterfield would be replaced by another Slack executive. The announcement of Butterfield's departure comes less than a week after Salesforce said its co-CEO Bret Taylor would leave the company in January. Taylor was credited as the architect of Salesforce's nearly $28 billion purchase of Slack. That deal was seen as a bet that at least some of the changes in the workplace made during the pandemic would stick. And today, President Biden is set to visit a semiconductor plant being built in Arizona. But the company behind the $12 billion project, Taiwan Semiconductor, says getting the plant up and running is hitting some snags, including high costs, lack of trained personnel, and unexpected construction problems. The visit by President Biden is a symbol of just how much the U.S. is relying on the Taiwanese company to give American chip manufacturing a lift. The U.S. makes about 12% of the world's chips, compared with 37% 3 decades ago, according to the U.S.-based Semiconductor Industry Association. The Arizona factory is set to start production at the end of next year. All right, coming up, are you an adventurer, an early adopter, a maverick? Well, the streaming service you use probably knows. We'll discuss why that might not be such a bad thing after the break.
Business today looks nothing like it did yesterday. While it's more unpredictable, its possibilities are endless. Knowing how to turn unpredictability into an advantage is where ADP comes in. ADP uses data-driven insights to design HR solutions and help businesses of all sizes work better, smarter, so they can think beyond today and find even more success tomorrow. ADP. Always designing for HR, talent, time, payroll, people.
Over the past few days, you might have noticed your social media blowing up with people posting lists of the music they've listened to most this year. That's right, it's Spotify Wrapped season. That time at the end of the year when the audio streaming platform playfully shares with users some of the information it's gathered on them. But why is it that we find this information gathering so fun and other data collection so intrusive? With me now to talk about that is our personal tech columnist, Nicole Nguyen. Hi, Nicole. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Zoe.
So for people who aren't familiar with Spotify Wrapped, can you just briefly describe for us what it is?
Spotify Wrapped is a year-end analysis that the company provides to its users, and it tells you things like how many minutes you streamed, your top artists, and it becomes something of a social media event because it's kind of like a personality quiz, but for your musical year.
So what did you learn about yourself from these stats this year?
Spotify told me that I spent exactly 12,035 minutes streaming this year, just over 200 hours. And for the first time, Spotify is also assigning musical personalities. So I learned that my musical mood shifts from intense, uplifting, soothing in the morning to acceptance, escapism, cathartic in the afternoon. And then I'm also an early adopter or someone who is, quote, always seeking the next hot thing, which sounds about right.
You know, often data collection has this bad reputation. So why does Spotify advertise to its users at the end of the year that it is collecting this data on them?
I think it's a really smart move by Spotify. For them, it's a marketing campaign to get people talking about Spotify and sharing their stats on social media. But for me, it's a reminder of how much data these companies are collecting about behavior, our activity, and the potentially interesting insights they have about us that we aren't even aware of ourselves. You know, like, for example, Peloton probably knows which day you're the laziest, or Netflix knows which kinds of thumbnails you're most likely to click on. And the user researchers and data scientists at these companies are probably running these insights, but they're not sharing those with their users, even though they're collecting this kind of data all the time. And Spotify Wrapped is unique in that they are not only collecting, you know, data collection is typically a one-way exchange between the user and the company, they're also giving some of that data back to its users.
Is Spotify the only company then that's doing that reversal, that's giving it back?
Apple Music and YouTube Music also have their own version of this, although it's not as comprehensive as Spotify's. And Strava also has a Your Year in Sport for the athletes that are signed up for that platform.
What if you don't want to be a part of this? I mean, is there a way to opt out if you don't want Spotify or your music provider collecting your listening information?
If you sign up for Spotify, then you agree to its terms and Spotify will collect this listening history regardless. But you can prevent it from showing up in things like Wrapped or in personalized playlists like Discover Weekly or Daily Mix by turning on a private listening session. So if you have a kid, you know, who loves listening to Baby Shark over and over again, you can prevent that from showing up in your top tracks on Wrapped.
Okay, so for all the parents on social media complaining that their Wrapped was ruined by their children, there is a way out. You mentioned that you agree to Spotify's terms of service when you sign up for it. I imagine they're not just collecting your listening information, right?
Yeah, they're also collecting data like your location, which they can infer from your IP address, which is pretty common for services. And that's for the purposes of providing you more personalized playlists based on where you are, or also for advertising, which is relevant to the free tier of Spotify.
You know, big picture, you wrote this column saying that this is one of the few occasions where you don't mind that your data was gathered. I mean, why not?
I love seeing my Wrapped every year because it tells me something about my own behavior that I didn't already know. And I think that's one of the beautiful potentials of technology. You know, we usually think of data collection as neutral to evil, which, you know, sometimes it is when our data is shared without our consent or more of it is collected than we had hoped. But Spotify Wrapped is kind of a data collection bright spot. It's an example of joyful data collection. I love seeing what band I loved most this year because it says something, I think, about where I was at musically and emotionally for the past 365 days.
So do you think other companies that are collecting our data should be sharing more of it with us?
I think so. Our data is so often monetized or used to improve these products. And if these companies want their consumers to be more comfortable with their data being collected, then they should show them the kinds of useful insights that users can glean from their own data.
All right, that's our personal tech columnist, Nicole Nguyen. Nicole, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And that's it for today's tech news briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, wsj.com. And if you like the show, please leave us a 5-star rating and a review wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
I'm Paul Gigault, and you can join me, Kim Strassel, Kyle Peterson, and our colleagues on the Potomac Watch podcast each Monday through Friday. And don't forget to hit that subscribe button on your favorite podcast app.